You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Morning, church. How are y'all? Good looking crowd, man. Despite the ugly guy on the stage, it's a good looking crowd. So excited to be able to share God's word with you this morning. As you all know, I am not Pastor Chris. That's our home run hitter. He texted me this morning and asked if I could pinch hit for him. Actually, I think his exact words were, "Do you have one in your back pocket?" And my response was, "Oh, absolutely, I do." And so, praying that this is exactly what God wants us to hear this morning. It was kind of a crazy thing. Is woke up this morning about 6:45, 6:50, and went to bed last night about midnight. My wife and I watched. We're kind of nerdy, and we watched a sermon last night. It started about 10 o'clock, and so I got up, listening to. Thinking about that, the message that was preached on last night, got up praying that this morning, saying, "Listen, Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to be obedient. You are magnificent. You are beautiful." I get a text saying, "Hey, I'm not feeling well. Do you have one in your back pocket?" And I said, "God, this is not what I had in mind, but let's get after it." And so the theme that we're in, the series that we're in, is called Divine Interruptions. What a perfect time for something like this to happen. Obviously, be praying for Pastor Chris, not feeling well. And so just pray that he bounces back and that happens quickly. But love when God does the unexpected. And sometimes it's the unexpected to you. And most of us sometimes are not so keen on that happening. We have our plan. We have our agenda. We want it to work exactly the way we want it to work. God has different ideas most of the time. And so this series just kind of, to me, falls right in line with what's going on. God, why would God do anything different other than cause an interruption in the normal schedule, the way things should happen? And so this is the way God has orchestrated this. And so we're gonna go with it. I'm pitch hitting, and so let me know afterwards if it's a bunt or a strikeout or a single or an error or whatever. But anyway, God is going to be lifted up. He's going to be honored by what is preached today. So, interruptions. Let me share a little bit of interruption in my life. I was in college. I grew up in a non-Christian house down in Freeport, Texas, if you guys know where that's at, on the coast. Surfside just got hammered. A lot of stuff with the hurricane. Burl came through there. But grew up in that area. Went to church at First Baptist Church Freeport. Went off to college. Went to Sam Houston State University. Was majoring in criminal justice. My plan was to head off to law school, to South Texas College of Law in Houston, after I graduated from college. That was my plan. I was going to make a lot of money, be this famous attorney, all that kind of stuff. The semester that I was graduating, God said, "Not so fast. I have something else in store for you." I was part of a ministry on our college campus called Baptist Student Union. Sounds really old and really Baptist-y, but that's what it was called. Now they've updated it. It's called Baptist Student Ministry now. Was involved in that ministry. We were going on a mission trip to South Padre Island. I know, terrible location. That spring break. But we were headed down to South Padre that March. And so we went to our homes that weekend before we were leaving on that Monday. So I went back to my church, First Baptist Church, Freeport, Texas, and I went into the sanctuary. I sat about five rows back on this side of the sanctuary looking at the pulpit. My pastor was a little short guy, had a flat top, went to Baylor University. Older guy, his name was Hobby Bilderback. Sweet, sweet old man, loved him. And he was preaching that Sunday. I have no idea what he was talking about. I have no idea what the scripture was. But I remember sitting there listening, and I just felt something inside my heart, something inside my soul saying, "You need to pay attention today." And so I paid attention, and then at the end of the service, Brother Hobby gave an invitation, and he said, there may be somebody in the sanctuary who feels like God has a call on their life for ministry. Like God wants your life, wants you to go into full-time vocational service for ministry. And I'm sitting there going, no. No, this is not my plan. The longer he kept talking, the more in my heart I felt like, dude, you got to get up, walk down the aisle, just go talk to him. And so I went down, shook his hand. He met me at the front, and I said, Brother Hobby, I don't know what's going on. I have a plan, but this is not my plan. But I really feel like God wants to use me in full-time Christian service. I don't want to be a preacher, don't want to be a pastor, so I'm not real sure what that looks like. And he goes, okay, no problem. And so we prayed together. I sat down on the front pew. We had the little lady who had the little clipboard with a little card and a little pencil. Those of you that are old school know exactly what I'm talking about. She came down, sat next to me, and she said, okay, what decision did you make? And she wrote down all that kind of stuff. And there's a little box that you could check and the whole nine yards. And so then, after the invitation, then she hands a card. A pastor comes, sits down. She hands a card to him. He looks at it, stands up, and says, hey, Mike, come stand with me. So I go up there and stand with him. He's a little short guy. He's got his arm around me like this. And he goes, church, we have some fantastic news. Says Mike Cooper has surrendered to full-time Christian service, and he's going to be a preacher. And I looked at him and I said, Brother Hobby, did you not hear anything that I said? I said I didn't want to be a preacher. And so that sparked something in my life for the next, whatever, that was in 1991. So what is that? I'm 33 or whatever. I can't do math that quick. But however many years later that is, that's where I'm at today. And I always wondered how a criminal justice degree and a job in ministry would ever come together. And some of you that know me, I was a chaplain in a federal prison just retired after 20 plus years of doing that ministry. And God allowed caused an interruption in my life to steer me in a direction where I was not going at all. And so, church, I want you to hear this morning that God causes some divine interruptions in our life so that he can get glory in our lives, so that he can do in our lives what we never, ever, ever thought possible. I remember talking to somebody for the very first day about becoming a prison chaplain. They said, hey, have you ever considered doing that? And I said, absolutely not. Never, not one second have I ever considered working in a federal prison for a job. And God said, you're just the perfect guy. And after 20 years, I retired, and it's been a beautiful, beautiful ministry. And so I want us to see today in this passage that we're going to look at in Luke chapter 19 that there are some interruptions that happen. Most of the time, God is completely in charge of, that he knows what's going on. Sometimes we cause interruptions in our own life by our own sin, our own mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about. But God orchestrates some events in our lives to get our attention. And so, church, I want you to hear that this morning, that there are some things that have happened in your life in the past that maybe you weren't in charge of, you weren't in control of, but God is using that to point you in a direction where he wants you to head. And some of you say, you know what, God, I don't want to go in any direction close to you. Some of you are just here with your family today, maybe, or you're listening online, maybe, in church, and following after the things of God are not important to you. The song that we just sang says that, listen, there's only one response that I have once I have an encounter with Jesus, and that's to give you everything that I have. And so I hope that you're challenged with that this morning by the time that the message is over. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19, looking at a really, really familiar passage. If you've been in Bible study very long at all, you've heard the story of this wee little man named Zacchaeus. I promise you, I'm not going to sing the song. I shared with the group this morning as we're praying, get ready for the service. Told him I was preaching on Zacchaeus, and Hannah goes, oh, we're going to sing that song? I'm going, absolutely not, we're not singing that song. She goes, do you want to sing the song? I'm going, no, absolutely not. I don't want to sing that song. So I'm not singing the song. You can Google it later and listen to it. So Luke chapter 19, looking at verses 1 through 10. Let's read that together. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Let me set the stage just a little bit before we go in a little further. If you look back in chapter 18, Jesus, for multiple times, has told his disciples what is on the horizon. That the Son of Man is headed to Jerusalem, where he will be betrayed, where he will be arrested, that he'll be beaten, and that he'll be killed, and that he'll be raised 3 days later. In that exact language, at the end of chapter 18, he says almost verbatim those words, and the disciples still don't get it. They still didn't understand it. So, church, sometimes if you read Scripture and you're going, man, I just don't understand what he's saying here, you can be a great disciple. You can be a great follower of Christ, because even the folks that lived with him for 3.5 years still didn't get some of the basic things that Jesus said to them. He said, this is what's happening, and we're on our way to Jerusalem right now. And they're headed through Jericho, and that's where we're picking up right now. So in verse 2, it says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed in a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I know you guys are singing the song in your head right now. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began muttering, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back 4 times that amount. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. There are some interruptions that happen in our lives. There are some things that we don't plan on. Maybe an interruption happened this morning. You were on your way to church. Baby spilled something. Maybe you spilled some coffee, had to go back, change your shirt. Whatever the reason, you ever get stopped at a train track, the bars are coming down, and you're in a hurry, you're trying to get someplace in a specific time. We don't understand sometimes those distractions, those interruptions, God is orchestrating, because he's protecting you potentially from potential hazard that may be 2 miles down the road, or there's something that's going on where he just wants you to be a little bit late, or whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, God works all those things out. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way. The disciples are following him. Multitudes have already seen and heard for years now what Jesus has done. They're following him. Zacchaeus has heard about this guy named Jesus and wants just to get a look at him, wants to see who he is. So he hears that Jesus is coming. He's on his way. And so he says, man, he's on his tippy toes. Apparently he's a shorter guy, can't see the crowds. And again, this imagery of everybody wanting to see who Jesus is, they're pressing in. Zacchaeus thinks and says, listen, I know there's a tree down here. I'm going to go down in front. Jesus is headed this direction. Climb up in the tree to get a view of what he looks like. I don't know where you're at. I don't know. Obviously, I know you're in church, but I'm talking about where you're at in your soul, where you're at in this faith journey. If you're really wanting to catch a glimpse of who Jesus is, are you just wanting kind of check in the box, or you really want to get to know this guy named Jesus and all the things that you've read, all the things that you've heard through sermons and songs? Do you really want to get to see him? Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And so this passage in verse 5, we get to see the first point that I want to share with you this morning when it comes to interruptions. When Jesus reached the spot, Scripture says that he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. And so, church, what I want you to hear this morning, if you don't hear anything else, is that he sees you. He sees the situation that you're in right now. He knows the frustrations that you're feeling. He knows the heartache that you have. He knows the difficulties that you're going through. Jesus sees you, sees your circumstance, sees your story, knows your story. And so with that comes this question sometimes in our minds. Jesus, if you see this, God, if you see what's going on, you see and you know what I'm feeling in my heart, why in the world are you letting it happen? I don't understand that. God, I know that you love me. Your word tells me that you love me. I know all the songs about how you love me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But God, man, I'm hurting. I've experienced some things that I don't feel like anybody should ever experience. Why? And church, those of you that are listening online, I don't have an easy answer for that. I don't have this little comment that I can make and saying blank. I don't have that for you. But what I can tell you is that God is sovereign and that he wants to take the situations that we've gone through, those heartaches, those pains, those frustrations, and he wants your attention to be on him. Zacchaeus has run ahead in this street to be able to get an eye on him. And so a lot of times God will allow some things to happen in our lives so that our attention gets off the circumstance and goes towards him, so that we can look with a proper perspective on what we need to be looking at. And so Zacchaeus sees that Jesus sees him. A lot of times we think that when God sees us, we have this automatic response to put our hands up and say, hey, God's about to punish me. You ever been to the carnival or Six Flags or old school, if you're from Astro World, this little game called Whack-A-Mole? Remember that game? Where you had a little hammer, you had a little mallet in your hand, and this little mole would pop his head up in these different holes, and you're trying to hit the head of the mole as quick as you can. A lot of times our perspective is that's how God sees us. He sees us poke our head up when we sin, and then he's going to hit us over the head with this little mallet. It's not how God operates at all. If you can hear one thing, memorize a verse, and this is some people that struggle with, man, I've done a lot of bad things, or I've done some things that God's not pleased with. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, for there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you are a child of God, if you have said yes to him, you invited him into your heart, you are a different creation. You are somebody new, you are fresh, that you are new, and so God sees you differently. He wants you to know that he loves you despite the mistakes that you make. Believe it or not, church, some of you will sin before you get to the parking lot on your way out of here today. I know it's hard to believe. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But it's just one of those things that we're going to make some mistakes. And God doesn't see you as a person who just makes mistakes all the time. He sees you as somebody made in his image, and he loves you and wants the best for you. So he sees what's going on in your life. Second thing I want you to see with this passage, not only when he looks up and sees Zacchaeus, but what does he say immediately? He calls him by name. He looks up and says, Zacchaeus. And so, church, I want you to understand that he knows you. Not only does he see you, but he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. No comments, please. But it's easier for God to count some of us than others, but he knows every single detail. He knows the size shoe you wear. He knows if you like chocolate or not, if you prefer milk chocolate over dark chocolate, if you like key lime pie, whatever. God knows every single detail about your life. Conversely, he wants you to get to know him as well. And church, I don't mean to sound mean or ugly when I say this, but if Sunday morning is the only time that you open this up, you're not going to get to know him like he wants you to get to know him. You have to spend some time in what God's word says. The message that I was telling you about earlier that Denise and I were listening to last night, this gentleman, actually, this is how nerdy we are. We listen to a message, and then we listen to the follow-up to that message that actually talks about that message a little bit more. And one of the guys that were talking about the particular passage, he opens up Psalms 104 and he says, listen, we're going to read this, and I just want you to close your eyes and try to imagine these things in your mind as we're reading this. And I'm just going, man, this is absolutely beautiful. I got goosebumps sitting on my couch in our travel trailer listening to this guy read scripture over us while I'm trying to imagine what God's word is saying. I want to know God. I don't want to know about him. I don't want to know that he's a good guy, that he has his best for me. I want to know his heartbeat. I want to know I want to feel His breath on my face. I want to be that close to Him. And so, church, that's His desire. He wants us to be that close to Him. I know a lot of details about my wife. I know how she has a little thing on the back of her hair that drives her nuts, okay? She's probably going to really be mad at me because I said that. But I know little details about her because I've spent years with her. Same thing happens in our relationship with God. We get to know God more intimately the longer that we walk with Him. Zacchaeus sees Jesus look up at him, and then he hears in his ears Jesus say, "Zacchaeus." Zacchaeus was just trying to see Jesus. He wasn't trying to get to meet Him, not trying to have a conversation with Him. He just says, "I want to get to see who Jesus is." And then Jesus calls him by name. Listen, church, He calls you by name. Every single day, He says, "Mike, I want you to hang out and spend some time with me. Mary, I want you to hang out and spend some time with me. Tom, whatever your name is," He's saying your name, "spend some time with me." My wife, over the years, while I was working at the prison, she would see some things on social media or she'd read something and she would say, "Man, this would be really good for maybe a potential message or an illustration for the inmates at work." And so she'd send me an email with these little captions, these little phrases, little quotes. And one thing that she sent me one time was just really, really profound. So I typed it up, put it on my door, so when staff members would come through, they'd be able to see it and maybe start a gospel conversation with people that weren't believers that I worked with. And then the folks that were incarcerated, they would come through and they'd read it as well. But this phrase that I hung on my door one time, it said, "Satan knows you by your name, but calls you by your sin. Jesus knows you by your sin and calls you by your name." And so I can imagine when Zacchaeus heard Jesus, the guy who had healed the lame, who had caused the blind to be able to see, raised the dead to life, when he saw Jesus and heard Jesus call his name, there had to be something magical, something spiritual that happened in his soul that day. What I don't want you to miss, church, is you can experience that exact same thing sitting in here this morning and you feel something in here. I don't want you to walk out that door, ignoring what you just felt. Not that it's always about a feeling, but there is something that happens and stirs up in our hearts and our soul that we can't ever potentially explain verbally, but you know that it has to be from God. And I don't want you to ignore that because God wants to have a relationship with you. He sees you. He knows you. The last thing I want you to see is, what does Jesus tell Zacchaeus? He says, "Zacchaeus, come down because I'm going to your house today." He sees us. He knows us. And He wants us, church. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to reveal Himself to you more and more. Just like I said earlier, the disciples heard Jesus say this over and over and over again, that He was on His way to Jerusalem to die. They didn't get it. A lot of times we'll read a verse over and over and over again, and we don't understand what it says. But the longer that we walk with the Lord, the longer that we're in a place like this where a pastor is sharing God's word with you, explaining it to you, then one of these days you're going to read a verse and the light is going to go off and you're going, "Oh my goodness, that's what it means. That's how it applies to my life today." That happens because you hang out with Him. That happens because you spend some quality time with the Lord in His word, with other believers that can encourage you, that can pray with you, that can challenge you to dive deeper into the things of God. Like I said, I became a believer as a teenager, grew up in Freeport. I became a believer when I was 16, got baptized. My parents were not believers. They never discouraged church, but they just never really encouraged it either. That wasn't part of their life. And so when I became a believer, obviously one of the very first things, the first people that I talked to about my decision to follow Christ were my parents. And they kept telling me, "You know what, Mike, hey, good for you, that's for you, not necessarily for us." And so I would share with them over and over and over again how to become a believer, what it means to follow after the things of God. And to this day, my mom passed away in 2003, and I really don't know that she ever made a profession of faith. I don't know that she ever became a believer. She knew about God. I just don't know that she knew God. And so after my mom died, I really felt impressed to have those conversations with my dad over and over and over again because, I mean, his eternity was at stake. And so he was living in northern Arkansas at the time, and so I went up to visit with him, and he says, in almost every single conversation, he would tell me, he goes, Mike, see, I've lived a bad life. I've done some things in my life that I just really don't think that God could ever, ever forgive. And he was just, you have these visions. I don't know if your parents have passed away, but I always have these images in my mind of what my dad looked like, and he had these big, just like meat hooks, and he had, in my mind, his ring size was like 27, and he just had these big, huge hands and hard and calloused, real tough guy. And I remember seeing a tear in his eye, and he goes, God, there's some things that I've done that God can't forgive. And I would go back to Scripture, and I would explain who Paul was, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, and saying, Dad, this guy was responsible for killing Christians, and God forgave him and used him. He can forgive you. Never made that acknowledgement, never accepted the things that I said. And so after one visit with him, I went to a pizza place in the little town that he lived in. And I know that I'm a shy guy and hardly ever talk, but I started talking to this guy standing in line behind me, and he turned out to be a pastor in that local area. And we got to talking, and he goes, what are you doing up here? And I told him, I'm visiting my dad, and my mom had passed away and all that kind of stuff. And I said, would you mind going by and talking with my dad? Would you mind going by and just visiting with him, talking to him about the Lord? And he goes, absolutely. He goes, actually, this week, we're starting a revival, and there's another friend of mine who's a pastor who's preaching the revival. We'll both go by and visit with your dad. Give him his address. 4 days later, I get an email on my work email, and he says, Mike, have some really good news. Said, me and this other gentleman went and prayed with your dad, and he prayed and received the Lord. And that was in 1986, I became a believer. So these people that can do math real quick, and in 2007, he prayed and asked Christ to come into his heart. So whatever, how many years that is, what is it? 38. You guys get your phones out, calculate real quick. You guys can do the math. I know that I can't do it. Okay, so however long that was, I prayed for my dad. Prayed for my dad that he would get to know who Jesus is. And so, church, I don't know what your past is like. Don't know the good stuff, the bad stuff, the mediocre stuff, but I want you to know that God loves you and that he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to interrupt your life. A lot of times we're just on cruise control. We're doing stuff every single day. We get up, brush your teeth, shower, go to work, come home, cook dinner, brush your teeth, go to bed. Every single day, routine after routine after routine. And God just says, stop. Let me interrupt because I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. Zacchaeus had this interruption. What was Zacchaeus' response to having this encounter with Jesus? In verse 7, it says, all the people saw this and began to talk among themselves, began to mutter, he's gone to be the house at the guest of a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said, listen, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. When you have an encounter with God, your life will be radically changed. The things that were important to you won't be nearly as important. And it may not happen instantaneously. It may not happen, that life change may not happen immediately, but you'll see a progression because God will continue to do in you what you couldn't do for yourself. And so allow God to cause the interruptions. Allow God to step in and say, you know what? Hey, I have a different plan for you. And if you allow God to do that, I promise you, you will never, ever, ever regret him coming into your life, changing your life, interrupting your life, because he has something greater in store for you. He sees you, he knows you, and he wants you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for this passage. We thank you, God, for interruptions. We know that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. We know that he had shared with the disciples and his followers over and over and over again what was on the horizon. He's headed through Jericho, headed to Jerusalem, to the cross. And he looks up in a tree and sees a sinner, sees a man named Zacchaeus, and interrupted Zacchaeus' life, interrupted the procession going through Jericho to stop to have a conversation with a man who needed him. And so, God, I pray that you would interrupt us, that you would speak to our hearts. And there may be some folks in this room this morning, some folks online, that have been struggling with this relationship thing with you. What is it? God, I'm hurting. I feel like you've abandoned me. I feel like you've let some things happen that should have never happened, the heartache I've experienced. But there's something that's going on in my heart right now that I can't explain. I know that you see me. I know that you know me. And I'm reminded right now that you want me. You want my heart. You want to have a relationship with me. As much as I'm trying to fight it, God, I know that I need to have a relationship with you. So, God, I pray that you would speak to those hearts, that you would soften them enough for them to respond, to say yes to you. Just like Zacchaeus' life was changed, and there was immediate response of contrition, immediate response of making some things right. Father, the only act that we can have is to give our heart to you, for you to take it and mold it and shape it into what you want it to become. So, Father, I pray that you would do that in the hearts right now. For those of us that have been walking with the Lord for some time, Father, use interruptions. Use those times in our life where we have a plan, we have an agenda, but you intervene and cause some conversations to happen. Some start of relationships that you want to use us to be able to lead people to you. Father, do in our lives what you need to do. We give you that freedom, God. We know that you love us with all of your heart. Father, help us to love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.